Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett-Shiflett, and we have three very special guests in our studio today. But before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio. And you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. We'd love to hear from you, and you can check out the pictures on our website. Okay, we're going to start out with our first guest this morning, Joseph Garisi. And you own Perk and Pooch. And when I looked at your website, I saw Scrub Dog Drink Coffee Hangout, your neighborhood dog wash and coffee cafe. So, Joseph, paint a picture for our audience, what is Perk and Pooch, and how did you come up with that idea?
We're, just as it says, we're a neighborhood coffee shop and dog wash facility. We came up with the concept when we were in Southern California on vacation, and we noticed that there were a lot of coin-operated car dog washes off the beach. Having just recently returned to the U.S. from Asia, where we used to have our dogs pampered, it was something that we had a difficult time finding in the Atlanta area, a place that we could take our dogs to have them washed in an easy-to-use format and a cleanly, clean facility. So we came up with a concept. We love coffee, so we did a lot of research. There's probably about 12 type of establishments like us across the U.S., and it was the bringing the two concepts together which made it unique and a unique destination that our customers love. So you can come into the location, you can wash your dog yourself, and we have all the facilities and supplies that you need to do that. We take you through how to do that, or you can drop your pooch off and have us do it for you. You can run errands, get a workout in. And it usually takes us about an hour and a half to do that. And then come back and your dog's all clean and ready to go on, go back home. Or you can do professional grooming. We have groomers in there 7 days a week. It's been phenomenal. We've just celebrated our fourth year in business in the Atlanta area. And it's been awesome. It's a family business. Our son helped us with the visual design and the graphics and the video content that we have. Our daughter runs the day-to-day operations. My wife makes wicked drinks and milkshakes. So it's kind of a cool place.
Okay, so paint a picture for me. If I'm walking in the door, what do I see? What do I hear? What do I smell?
Actually, when you walk in the door, on the right-hand side will be an enclosed glass facility, and that's our coffee cafe. It's completely enclosed, wrapped in glass. You can take a look. If you're going to wait and have your pooch washed, you can look and see how things are going. Enjoy a cup of coffee, ice cream, milkshakes. It's in a Wi-Fi environment, so you can get some work done. It's very quiet. We have it soundproofed. But as you go into the welcoming area, it looks very much like a spa. It has the colors of a spa, including the smells. We do a pretty good job of keeping the wet dog hair smell down to a minimum, which has been something that we focus on quite a bit.
Right. That's what I was wondering. How do you keep the wet dog smell from the coffee?
We have different scents and candles and oils that we have stationed throughout the shop to keep all that down. And then we have five stations that are completely enclosed, where if you want the privacy to wash your dog and be able to do that, we've even designed it that if you have a dog like us, we have a Great Dane. He weighs about 150 pounds. It's hard to get him up into a tub, even though the tub can handle up to 300 pounds, but it's just physically hard. Can wash them on the floor. We have drains to be able to do that. So we make it as easy as possible. We make it as convenient as we can make it. Each of those five stations are available to be used throughout the day. We highly encourage appointments because we do get very busy on the weekends, and we do all the appointments online. We try to make that as simple as we possibly can for people to, at their convenience, to come in, schedule the appointment, come in, have their appointment. The dogs are ready when the appointment's over. So we're pretty stringent in terms of being able to get the dogs in and out in a specific time frame.
I kind of have this vision in my mind of, when you go to the car wash and you sit in there and the car goes down the assembly line and you're watching it. Is it kind of like that? Like you can sit and have your coffee, but you can see the dogs coming through, getting washed, getting dried, groomed?
No, not at all. It's very much a family environment. So each of the stations, the way they're set up is, you know, when you reserve your appointment, that's your station. That's what we would use to wash your dog if you had us do it for you. But, you know, that station is available for you or us as we do your dog for the time slot. So we try to turn those over as best we can, but we try to keep the assembly line out of it. It's try to make it a very personal environment. It's the way we view it is the pups are part of the family and should be treated accordingly. So
how did you decide to become an entrepreneur?
You know, it's been part of our family. I'm second generation Italian. My grandfather came over in the early 1900s. He started a pasta company. It's still out there today called San Giorgio. It's still something that you can see in the grocery stores. My father was there for 49 years, but instilled in us at a very young age to the work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know, he had two small businesses while he worked at San Giorgio that he required us to work at a very young age, either in a deli or in a gas station environment. So, you know, it was something that he instilled in us. It's the entrepreneurial is just, I think it's just part of, you know, who I am and what I grew up with.
Okay. I bet you have some funny stories. You've got to have at least one funny story that's happened. Can you share with us?
We have a couple good stories. You know, one where we actually have four poodles that visit us every week. The great customers. The poodles are awesome, well-trained, but they come in a Corvette. If you can believe, you know, you have a standard size poodle, two standard size poodles and small ones, and they know exactly where to go in that car in terms of sitting, trained to go into the car and find their space. They know what order they go in. So when you first see it, it's, you know, it's kind of funny when you watch, you know, how can these four dogs get in that Corvette? But they do, they know where to go. They know exactly where to sit.
That's funny. Okay, high-low, what's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job?
I say the best part of it is just the community and the environment that we've created. It's been awesome. We have a great support from our customers. And that's the fun part. When I go in there on the weekends, I get to talk to a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds and just learn a little bit more about them. I'd say that the hardest part is just starting a small business in the U.S. and particularly in Sandy Springs is a bit tough. It's a bit of a challenge with all the regulations and the taxes and the codes that you have to follow. There's no handbook for that. So it's learning process and learning the ropes to get through that. And that's been the most difficult part. But again, it's been a blast. It's been a great 4 years so far.
Good. And what are your hours?
We're generally open from 10 to 5 Monday through Thursday, and then 9 through 6 from Friday and through the weekend.
Okay. And how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Can get in touch with us a number of ways. We're very active on social media, so you can follow us on perkinpooch.com or on our Facebook page. We also have Twitter and Instagram that we're pretty active on. You can follow us in any of those environments. You can also book appointments in any one of those environments as well. We've made it very easy for people to follow us on social media and to schedule those appointments.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our next guest is Mr. Mike Robertson. He is a graduate of Reinhardt University. Mike has a vision of helping small business owners increase online business and increase customer engagement. Mike is a self-admitted internet geek and loves seeing his clients reach for the top of their search results. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Mike, paint a picture for our audience of what underdog marketing is and tell us how you got started as an entrepreneur.
Underdog marketing is a business that was started to help small business owners attract more leads online. There's a lot of companies out there that have huge marketing budgets. They have the money to pay for advertising, whereas if you hire, what I do is internet marketing, we can allow you to get more leads, more sales, more exposure at a lower price. So it's not your typical underdog marketing as the definition is, but it's actually trying to help the little guy get more leads and grow over the long term.
So how would you explain to our listeners what exactly is internet marketing?
Internet marketing is the act of using either web or email marketing to attract more leads, to generate more revenue, either through e-commerce or through phone calls. We help people. If you get a website visitor and you're not capturing their information somehow, then it's a wasted visit. So that's how we help increase engagement.
Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. So say you have a website, everything looks great, but somebody visits your site, you either have a promotion, say like for something that we do is a free SEO audit. So you have a button you can click on the website that entices the business owner to enter their information into a contact form, which turns into a lead. The same is for like a plumber's. Plumbers, you want a free consultation or a free evaluation for your water heater repair. Well, we put that stuff on the website. We can use data tracking to capture their information and help increase revenue that way.
Okay. And how do you know if a website is mobile friendly?
There's a couple ways you can tell. The first thing you want to do is there's the Google mobile friendly test, which is a free test. You just actually Google mobile friendly test, and you can copy and paste your link into that. And Google will tell you if your website is mobile friendly. And if your website is not mobile friendly, you're going to be penalized in the rankings. If it is mobile friendly, you're going to be given specific advantages over those that are not. And then there's other ways you can tell. Certain design elements are meant to be collapsible when the website shrinks down into a smaller screen, and you can identify that as well. There's a lot of websites out there now that are still not mobile friendly, believe it or not. And over 70% of all search results are on a mobile device now. So it's very important.
Mm. How can a local CEO grow your business?
The SEO can grow business.
SEO. Yeah,
that's quite right. The SEO, what we do is we take your business, we evaluate your competition and what your competitors are doing, and then we build your business profiles online through Yellow Book or Yellow Pages, White Pages, Yelp. We make sure you're getting reviews. We take all those efforts into consideration to help boost your website to the top of the search results. If you're at the top two or three, you're going to be guaranteed phone calls.
Hmm.
I've got clients that get 10 plus phone calls a day where they weren't before, and they were with, I'm not going to name names, but they're with large internet marketing companies and were wasting their money not getting phone calls. Now they're getting phone calls. Some of the companies I manage are worth more than $4.5 million a year in revenue. And that's as a result, I get to take some credit for that because we're helping them grow their business every day.
Yeah. And what should you look for in a SEO company?
An SEO company, first of all, you want to make sure that they're at the top.
Mm.
There's a lot of SEO companies that aren't at the top, and they get you through other lead capturing like scams. The first thing you want to look for is do they use white hat or black hat tactics? White hat being the ethical content driven marketing standards. Black hat is they're using Fiverr or some other service like that to help like stimulate your search results, which eventually will fall back up. So make sure that they're doing, you got some reviews, make sure that they have a white hat strategy and make sure they're at the top of the market
okay.
for search results.
All right. High, low. What's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job?
I just love working for myself. Absolutely love it. I've told myself and my wife for years that it's nobody else's responsibility but my own to create my own revenue. I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to create my own revenue. So I love every day waking up, being my own boss.
Mm.
Even though I don't consider myself the boss, I consider my customers the boss. But I still am in charge of my destiny. And that's my favorite part of every day. The low part of the day is I can't really think of one. You know, I get to do like a radio show. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, it's been a great ride so far. Been in business 2 years and I have never lost a client. So all my clients are on a month-to-month retainer. So far we're managing 40 accounts. So.
And is it just you?
It's myself and two other employees.
Okay. So small.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're small. But the difference is a lot of my deals are closed at dinner tables.
Hmm.
Is I actually go and meet with the clients, and this is their family too. This is their dream. So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm a service-driven company. Instead of going through 800 numbers and waiting for hours to get service, I come to you.
And that's really important these days. I mean, people are really sick of calling someone and getting a, you know, for so-and-so, press blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, it's nice to actually speak to a human being and not a, you know...
An operator.
An
overseas.
Operator or... Right.
Right, absolutely. It's the paramount of my business is, you know, not only do I provide results, that's great, but I actually, you know, I take phone calls all the time. I put my customers first to make sure that they're getting the results they want.
And I've heard that so many times in this room, you know, entrepreneurs say that, that having that one-on-one connection with their client, customer, that makes so much a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you the times that we've heard that mentioned in here. And it is appreciated by customers.
Mm-hmm.
And how can people get in touch with you if they want to?
You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, on Google Plus. You can call me, 770-570-7839, or you can visit underdogmarkets.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next guest is Stanley Virgilis. Did I say that correct?
Yep.
Did I? Oh, good. Okay. Stanley is the co-founder of Hux.com, an online marketplace where you can book a local house cleaner with more services on the horizon. Hux makes it easy to choose a service, provide, get your total price up front, and instantly schedule and pay without ever picking up the phone. Stanley, you were a student at Georgia Tech and played in a band, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us how Hux.com was born.
So I was living in Charleston, and my co-founder and I kind of had a party. After the party, we had to move out, and we couldn't find someone to get it cleaned. We knew that there were a lot of people locally that could get it done for us. But the process of finding them, figuring out when they're available, how much it would cost, and paying afterwards was time-consuming and frustrating. And we saw that this problem existed for a lot of services, not just house cleaning, for plumbing, for tutoring, for dog walking. And what we decided to do was build an online marketplace where you could find these local service providers, get your price up front, and instantly schedule and pay for a service. And so we did that about 2 years ago, and we've grown very quickly since then. Just closed a funding round out in Silicon Valley with Tim Draper. We'll be expanding our service to 3 cities over the course of 12 months.
Wow. That's pretty fast. And you said 2 years ago
Yep. This
started?
Mm-hmm.
It must have been some party.
It was a good one.
It was probably a good party. Okay. And so, wow, you've grown really, really fast. Because you've obviously been successful with this and you've only been at it for 2 years, what could you share with some young entrepreneurs coming up and trying to get a business started like you did? What advice could you give them?
I think the biggest piece of advice is just to get started. When I wanted to do Hux, there was a lot of opposition in my family. I had to go through school. And I think that the biggest advantage I had was just being decisive and getting started. Right now, couldn't be an easier time to start a startup. Everything that you need to find out, you can find out online. If you live in Atlanta, there's incredible communities, the ATDC, Switchyard, Strongbox, a whole host of infrastructure that can help you get started and get off the ground. So if you want to start a company, just do it.
Yeah, so it's working well being in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What are some challenges that you faced starting your business that other people might face, and how can they solve those problems?
So we're an internet startup. So we build the technology that connects local service providers to customers. I think that one of the biggest difficulties if you're doing something like that is finding a technical co-founder or learning to code on your own. I was very fortunate where my co-founder was a local service provider. He fixed phones and computers locally. He found it was very difficult for him to get customers, retain them. I had the same problem. I was a local tutor. And so all of our service providers had the same woes that we had. But he also was a coding genius. So he and I whipped up all the designs on my own. I actually designed them in Microsoft Paint when we first started. He loved them, and he got started on building it. So I think that if you're going to build a technology startup, you need to find someone that can build that first version for you and get it to market, or you've got to learn how to do it on your own.
And how did you come up with the name Hux?
It's actually, what we wanted was just a name that anyone could pronounce that had no meaning to it, so that we would have full control over the brand. We didn't want to pick a name like servicepro.com where there was an obvious connotation when you first heard it. We wanted to have full control over the associations when you first heard the name. The opportunity to buy Hux.com was available right when we closed our first funding round of just 20K. Three-letter domains are really expensive. And it would have terrified our investor if we had spent almost all of his investment on a domain. So my co-founder and I ended up putting in all of our money, literally every single penny that we had, to buy the domain. And eventually we paid ourselves back through the company.
Okay. And how did you grow so fast in such a short time and with such a small amount of funding when you started?
We just hustled. And in addition to hustling, we really focused on building a product that people loved. I think that was our guiding force. And so, yeah, we launched 2 years ago, and with $20,000, we grew to about $1.5 million in revenue, growing at about 20% month over month. I think almost all of our business came from word of mouth. And so what we did was we just focused intently on building something that people actually had something to talk about. By doing so, we ended up growing really quickly. And now that we've closed this funding round, we should be able to start exploring some more channels to grow even faster.
Okay. And who are your competitors and how are you different? How is Hux different?
So local services is an $800 billion market in the U.S. On top of that, that's just looking at the service industry that's kind of under the government's auspice. What we do is also look at the informal economy, which is between 5 to 10% of the United States GDP. And so that's even bigger. That's in the trillions. So there's a lot of companies in the space vying for this market. But almost all of them focus on just the introduction. So Angie's List might come to mind. Thumbtack might come to mind. Yelp might come to mind. All of those companies focus on providing you with an introduction, but then it's up to you to figure out how much the service is going to cost, when they're available, how you're going to pay them. And if something goes wrong, there's oftentimes no one to hold them accountable. And so what we built is an end-to-end marketplace, which basically takes that entire process, finding, vetting, collecting quotes, paying for the service and scheduling, and puts it all online. So instead of ever having to pick up the phone, you can book it instantly online. So the process with our competitors takes a few hours to a few days before your service is scheduled. With Hux, it takes literally 90 seconds.
And is Hux the only business that provides that service, the start to finish?
Yes. To our knowledge, there is no other company out there that's an end-to-end marketplace where you can see the service providers, get your total price up front, see when they're available for your exact job, and instantly book them. We haven't seen anything like it yet.
Interesting. All right, high-low, what's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job?
I'll start with the worst. I think the worst is when you start out with a crazy startup idea and everybody thinks you're as crazy as your idea. Yeah, my family was not supportive of me doing this company at all.
They just think that's just too crazy or people aren't going to buy that service?
Too risky. My parents are Russian immigrants. I'm first generation. And they just wanted me to get a job, be happy and on my merry way. But I had this vision for this company. I thought it was an enormous opportunity. And eventually I convinced them and now they're kind of supportive. But they still want me to finish school. I haven't actually finished tech yet. I think that that's the hardest part, is convincing people when you first start that this is something that's worth pursuing. On the high side, I mean, I think that one big advantage to Hux is we replace a lot of overhead that's found in the service industry. So if you're booking, for example, a house cleaner on Molly Maids or Mary Maids, they're making literally minimum wage. Almost all the money that you're paying goes towards overhead, marketing, managers, receptionists, storefront staff, a lot of people that have nothing to do with the quality of the job. And so that service provider is literally getting screwed. And so what we think and what our entire business premise is can we replace that overhead with technology so that the customer pays less and the service provider gets more? And so we have house cleaners that make between $30,000 and $50,000 a year on Hux, which was unfathomable before we built it. And on top of that, they have full control of their micro business. They set their own rates. They set their own schedules. They choose where they work, for whom they work. They have full control over their micro business. And so that makes me really happy. I love when a service provider calls us and asks for an earnings report, and I can show them that they're making more than they would make if they had a job anywhere else doing the same thing.
going back to the school, finishing school, do you think that it's necessary for you to finish school, or do you want to finish school? What is your thought on that?
My priority is to build Hux and to scale it across the U.S. and hopefully across the globe. If school helps me get there, I'll consider it. But in the meantime, Hux is growing really quickly, and I think that we're doing a pretty good job so far. I do want to finish. I think I only have one semester left. I'll probably try to get that done.
Yeah, but it sounds like your company's growing so fast, there's just not really time for that right now.
Yeah.
But your parents have to be happy with how fast your company's grown. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You didn't even finish, and you're very young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this original idea, and you're the only company that provides the service you provide.
Yeah. I mean, they're happy. I don't think they get yet exactly what we're doing, but I think that once more people start to find out about it, and hopefully I get to do more radio shows, then it'll start to click.
Yeah. All right. I want to go around and ask, Joe, are there any books that you would recommend for our entrepreneurs, that something that you've read, or do you have a favorite one about business?
Yeah, I think my favorite one's Built to Last. I mean, I think it's, you know, I do work for a large Fortune 500 company, and I've had the opportunity to work with them for a number of years. But when I go back and look at the experience I've gotten there and applying it into my own business, things like Built to Last, that you build a culture, you build a philosophy that not only your customers understand, but your employees understand, and that gets ingrained in what we do day in and day out.
Mike?
The Rockefeller Habits. It's one of my favorite books. It's about understanding data and how to set goals and how to maneuver your business through what data is being presented to you. It's a very good book.
Okay, good. Thank you. Stanley?
Selling the Invisible by Harry Beckwith. It's basically about how to market if you're selling services, and every entrepreneur is in the business of selling some sort of service, either to their employees or to their customers. It was one of the first books I read before I started Hux, and it definitely created the foundation upon which Hux was built. So it's a fantastic read. It's a page turner. And Harry Beckwith is a world-renowned marketer, so I highly recommend it.
Okay, good. Thank you. And Stanley, how can our audience get in touch with you and your business?
If you want to book a house cleaning, you can go to hux.com, H-U-X.com. You can call our support line at 404-586-4458, and we can quickly help you if you have any questions. Or you can email me directly, Stanley, S-T-A-N-L-E-Y, at hux.com. We're currently hiring developers, marketers, and community managers. So if you're interested in a position, definitely give me an email, and I'll get back to you quickly.
Excellent. Well, Joe, Mike, Stanley, thank you so much for being with us today. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.